Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. Today's Kickstarter highlight is Fate of the Elder Gods, and I have some of the masterminds with me today. I have Chris and Daryl. How's it going, guys?
Going well. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really. I love that theme song.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I put a lot of hard work into that. So, Daryl, Chris, you guys have been on the show before, but why don't you tell the listeners maybe a little bit about yourselves. Daryl, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I'm Daryl. I've designed Compounded as well as the board game Bottom of the Ninth, and now I'm one of the three designers for Fate of the Elder Gods. I'm a graphic designer by trade. I work for Panda Game Manufacturer as their marketing manager. And I also am the director of the Unpub Network. So my hands are in all types of board game goodness.
Wow. Lots of fingers and many pies.
Yeah.
That's cool. Chris, what about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm founder and creator of Dice Hate Me Games, and we merged with Greater Than Games last year, and I now co-own that company and also work as head of development for Greater Than Games. And this Fate of the Elder, I'm one of the designers, co-designers on Fate of the Elder Gods, and this is going to be printed through our Fabled Nexus imprint.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right in and talk about this Kickstarter. So, Fate of the Elder Gods, what is it, and what can people expect when they play it?
You want to tackle that, Daryl?
Sure. Fate of the Elder Gods is a twist on the usual, typical Lovecraft Arkham horror type of theme, where you're an investigator, trying to seal off Elder Gods. Instead, you are playing the cultists, and each player is their own cult, worshipping their own ancient one, and they're working to bring that ancient one forth to ensure that that's the one that enslaves humanity because, hey, the world would be better under Cthulhu or Nyarlathotep or anybody else.
Yeah. Oh, totally, definitely.
Everyone except for the other ancient ones. My ancient one's the best. So you're doing that by kind of screwing over the other cults with a little bit of gotcha mechanics, area control. And you're also kind of whispering in the ears of the investigators at Arkham to go investigate their lodges so they start dropping elder signs on your opponents and trying to seal their gods. So it's got this really fun multiple path to victory. You have to manage both sort of the same time while playing. You're either going to win by summoning your elder god or going to lose because your elder god got sealed away with, elder signs. So you have to watch both constantly.
Definitely. Cool. So what are you guys lovers of the whole Lovecraft universe, and that's why you wanted to dive into it? How did you decide to do this type of theme?
No, it's a terrible idea. It was dart at a board, and you're like, okay.
I'm definitely a huge fan. Yeah. I've been a Lovecraft freak probably since I think I remember reading my first one back in seventh grade, and I've just been involved with Lovecraftian themes and things for many years. Of Arkham Horror is actually probably the board game that I've played the most. I used to have every weekend an Arkham Horror night and used to play it constantly. And so when I got a chance to finally meet Richard a few years back at Origins, of course I was a big fan, Richard Launius, and he's one of our co-designers on the game. And so it was just sort of a dream to put together a nice Lovecraft game. And something that stays, it pays a good homage to the genre. And Fate definitely does that.
Definitely. And it's something that I've almost noticed recently with the resurgence of board games being a lot more popular, of course, in the last few years. And they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And it seems like when that started and, like Arkham Horror or other games came out, like Cthulhu and the whole Lovecraft universe seems to be more popular and kind of, I don't want to say mainstream, but it's more out there than it used to be, because I see, going to, a store with geeky related things, and you're going to see a Cthulhu something like there, or like the Pop Funko has a Cthulhu pop, and it's all these things. It's really interesting to see that when those board games started coming out, it seems like it became more prominent in the eye of the people.
Yeah, it definitely brought it into mainstream more. I mean, it used to be, I mean, quite literally a cult, you know, if you knew who Lovecraft was. It was a subset, but now it's become, you know, pop culture.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Cthulhu now.
Yeah, it's a normal geeky household name.
Yeah.
So the game is it's 1 to 4 players, takes about 60 to 90 minutes to play. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Awesome. So how does the gameplay work out? I mean, you're working to be the one god to come and enslave humanity. But is it more based on cards or dice? How does the gameplay work out?
Well, we have card. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, I was saying there are dice in the game, but the game is more driven by cards, and so the game is far more strategic than probably most other Lovecraft games, where it comes down to dice chucking a lot. This one, your movement, your plans, all come from these multi-use cards. So spell cards, which are like kind of the heart component of the game. One side has a spell on it with a casting cost across the top, but the backs are different. So there's one of 5 different backs for spell cards, and there's an equal amount of each one in the spell card deck. And so on your turn, what you're going to do is so the central board is the fate clock, and it's got 6 different locations. Each location is assigned an icon. I mean, it's printed on the board, so, you know, it's set. So the backs of your spell cards, each spell card will have a matching icon to a location on the fate clock. So at the start of your turn, you will discard one of your spell cards from your hand, thus saying, you know, I don't want to cast this spell because I want to move to this location on the back. And you're going to discard that to where you're starting the turn, so where there's a fate piece that moves around the clock. So you're going to discard it to where the fate piece is to move it to that matching icon location. And that's going to do 2 things. Number one, like I said, it's going to give you that, do I really want to play the spell or do I really want to move the location? Which one's more important right now? And then once you discard it down to the location, it's going to start building what's called the astral column. And the astral column is what you're going to start using to cast spells. And so you're going to discard it, but move away from that astral column. So now another player could potentially come back and take advantage of that to cast their spells. So everything has kind of got a back and forth to it. Like everything is like, yeah, I've got control of this location, but to be able to use the ultimate control location, I have to sacrifice my cultist, which gives someone else control. So there's always like this balance for the whole game back and forth.
Definitely. Well, it sounds like sounds fun. You know, I love to be able to integrate strategy with any of the games that I play and so forth. So being able to add a little bit more into that instead of just a game of chance on dice, which can be fun too, it definitely is appealing to my eyes for sure. So the campaign, it's only been up for a few days. You guys still, as we're recording today, you guys still have 28 days left to go on the Kickstarter. It's set to end on August 19th. And you guys are like 95% funded. So I, you know, no doubt in my mind this game's going to happen. So that's pretty exciting for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a great, round of support from people. You know, when putting up a game that's a little on the expensive side with a high funding goal, you never know kind of how things are going to turn out. But this one has been pleasantly surprised that we're this far along this soon.
Definitely. Yeah. And you mentioned the higher price range because this is not Chris and Daryl's first rodeo to Kickstarter. but, you know, Chris with Dice Hate Me Games has put a lot of smaller card games out with a little less price tag. So, like you said, it's a little bit different area. So with having a higher price tag and also having miniatures and a bigger board, and essentially, were there any... was there anything you learned in this campaign that was, you know, so much different than your previous campaigns?
Well, we've never, or I personally have never dealt with miniatures before, so that was a whole new ball game. We had to think about kind of what miniatures we wanted, what we wanted them to look like, and then find a creative team to bring it about. So just learning sort of the process of dealing with the miniatures, also the size of them, how many pieces they need to be, and trying to keep the price down for those molds. But man, when you see, you see the prices for plastic and the molds and things. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, it adds a lot to the game, but
definitely, yeah. And that's why you see a lot of miniature games. Why they have like that $100 price tag a lot of the times is because it takes a lot of, you know, materials and time to be able to make these things. But it's money well spent to be able to have that extra element of the game. You have those physical figurines in your hand, you can, and just the detail to them, I think it adds definitely to a game rather than just having, you know, a meeple or something. Hey, but meeples are cool, people, don't get me wrong, but having a detailed plastic figurine is it just on a different level.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, it's eye candy. I mean, people are attracted to miniatures, but it's still, they looks good when you're playing the game. It's more immersive. And especially with a theme like, you know, Call of Cthulhu, H.P. Lovecraft type of game, to have those kind of figures and monstrous things to be out on the board is really helps you to get into the theme.
Definitely.
And it was one of the things that when we started off with the design, like, I told Chris, I'm like, this game's going to have miniatures. It has to have miniatures. And Chris is like, okay. And then finally, he's like, yep, this game's going to have miniatures.
All right, Daryl, you're right. I understand now. So, but no, it's just really cool to have, you know, your Cthulhu figurine and, you know, his big squid head and everything like that. It's just, it's fun, and it definitely adds to the game. And this is exciting, guys. I'm excited for you. Like we said, you know, you're almost 100% there, but you still have like a month left to go. Yeah, you'll have, you know, you're a little plateauing in the middle, but you know, spike at the end like most Kickstarter campaigns do, and I'm excited to see this. So with the game being made and the campaign obviously going to be funded, when do you hope to have the game out to backers, and do you plan on bringing it out to retail?
Well, our plan right now is to get it out by May of next year. We want to try to have it to be an Origins release. So we want to get it out to backers that we can. Most of the game is pretty much done. We're just working with Jorge, you know, to finish up the art, the Elder God art and artifacts. And it just also depends on how many stretch goals we unlock, because we have a lot of other cool things. One of the stretch goals that it's on there are a set of 5 Mego miniatures. So we're starting to introduce monsters into the game. So we'll have to have those sculpted by Chad and take that time and then get it out. So we're hoping May of next year. I think that's what we'll put on the Kickstarter page.
There you go. Yes. You heard it here on Sweet Kicks with Bricks. So. guys, I want to thank you for your time. I know that running a Kickstarter campaign, especially one on this level of scale, can be demanding of your time. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show and let people know more about Fate of the Elder Gods.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem. And good luck to you. And, you know, I plan and look forward to seeing all your other future projects coming out. And we'll keep in touch. And thank you again for your time. And thank you to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. You can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And he made our intro and outro. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.